You like my purse? It matches my shoes. Yeah. What's, my goodness, feels like being home. So good to see so many of you I know. I have a good friend that we run into, known for years, and every now and then I run into a North American or something like that, and he comes up and gives me a bear hug and says, "Thank God you're still faithful." And that's kind of the way I feel here. Thank God you're still faithful. It's just lots of memories. For those of you I don't know, I will try not to ramble, but as you know, as we get older, we do that. So, Larry, if it starts to look like I'm rambling, let me get by with it for a little while. Okay. Yeah, let me just first say, send greetings from Claudia. She is in full-time ministry at Sherwood Oaks, and they don't let her just walk out the door whenever I do. But she would like to have been here. Family is doing great. I don't know. I'm not sure what her official title is at Sherwood Oaks. She came there as a women's minister, and that's what it says on her door, I think. But she's heavily involved in marriage ministry. In fact, we both are. I'm doing a lot of premarital counseling right now with couples and loving it, really enjoying it. In fact, there's a couple that attends here that I'm counseling right now. In fact, I'm going to do their wedding. Turns out, with everything going on here in the sanctuary, not quite the way you'd like to have it for a wedding, they decided they checked in at Sherwood Oaks and they can do it there, and started to realize I was doing counseling, and so I'm doing their counseling. They're both students of mine. Another Edgewood wedding. I've done, I think, 4 Edgewood weddings now, and I love it. It's always like an Edgewood family reunion when you do that. And for those of you who don't know, I taught at Edgewood High School for 37 years, taught biology. A number of you I had in class, and some of you I had your kids and your brothers and sisters. But don't you dare tell me I had your grandparents. Not quite there yet, I don't think. But I've been retired since 2008, had a great career at Edgewood. I will always be a Mustang. I was thrilled that we won the ball game yesterday morning and heartbroken that we got annihilated last night. But those things happen. excuse me. Coach, what Claudia is doing, my oldest son John has his business in Bloomington, Monarch Media Studios, and is preaching at Paragon at New Life Christian Church on weekend. I think he's been there maybe 8 years. And even more important than that, they have given us 2 grandkids. And so we've got a grandson, Reese, who's 5, who is rapidly becoming one of my new fishing buddies. And he is in kindergarten at Sherwood Oaks. And then my granddaughter, London, is 7. She's in 2nd grade out of the Lighthouse. And they are the joys of our life. Those of your grandparents know it's really nice to spoil them rotten and send them home. And we've done our best to do that. Darren, my youngest son, is also working at Sherwood Oaks. And he lives right down the driveway from us. In fact, if you go from the highway, it's you may remember Tim and Kathy Adams, my sister and her husband, and Jake and Katie. They live on the left side of my driveway. And then Pat Kane, you might remember. We always kind of tease her about having a joint membership. She kind of goes wherever she's needed. And she attends at South Union Christian Church, but she's also at Sherwood Oaks some. She has been out here some years ago. And so she's doing great. And then the next drive is Darren, and then we're right at the end of the log cabin. So we've been in Whitehall, or almost Whitehall, for, I think, since 87. So we are all doing well, and I'm excited to be here. I can tell you are all doing well. But I wanted to bring you, in light of all the stuff that we hear on TV and everything that's going on, I feel like it's a great time to talk about hope. And so hope at the end of my rope is what I'm talking about. In fact, I even brought a rope. It's fairly long. Now, if you don't like the sermon, don't get any ideas, okay? But it has to do kind of with what I'm talking about. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's Romans 15, 13. And Psalms 33:20 says, why wait in hope for the Lord? He is our help and our shield. That's a good question to ask this morning. Why do we hope? Why do we have any reason to hope? You know, you watch TV or you read the newspapers or you look at the gas prices. I almost paid $4 a gallon 2 days ago for gas. I remember when in Europe they were talking about $3 a gallon for gas. I thought, how could we ever afford that? And guess what? We're still driving. We're still paying. And the heating prices. I don't know if you dealt with this. I had a $700 electric bill in February. I'm on a budget plan, and I have to settle up in May, and I may have to sell my boat or something to pay my electric bill. School, what's that? Yeah, that you're right. You got to have my priorities right. Yeah, yeah. School shootings. You know, when I was teaching full time, and even now, I've been subbing the last 4 years out at Edgewood. And Claudia always tells me in the morning when I leave, "Don't be a hero." She's afraid I'll throw myself in front of a loaded gun. Sometimes I think she doesn't know me as well as she thinks she does. But I've never had to do that, fortunately. And medical insurance is driving us crazy. Politics, I don't even want to start that. Russia and Ukraine, income taxes. You're without a senior minister right now. It's gonna change. It's going to get better. Purdue basketball, I don't know if it's going to get any better or not. Indiana basketball, Indiana football. Going back to basketball, if you're a sports fan, I can't remember a time in the NCAA tournament where there wasn't at least one team from Indiana. I don't think there's going to be any. It's crazy. Indiana football, I don't know. Colts and Pacers, maybe there's some hope there. Maybe a little hope. Well, I want to encourage you this morning. I'd like you right now to stand up. I know you're comfortable. Everybody stand up. And I would like you to say these words with me. I think it's in your bulletin, but the scripture is praise to God for a living hope. So say it with me. Praise to God for a living hope. Now, don't sit down yet. If you're old enough, you may remember Gomer Pyle. And Gomer Pyle was the character with Jim Nabors on Andy Griffith's show. And then he had his own show as a Marine. And his drill sergeant was Sergeant Carter. And if you remember, what he said all the time is, "I can't hear you." Okay, I didn't hear you very well, so let's do that again, okay? Praise to God for a living hope. Okay, you can sit down. Franklin Delano Roosevelt said these words, "When you come to the end of your rope, tie a knot and hang on." Now, I'll tell you, if you've looked at the outline, I've left some blanks in appropriate places, and I hope you'll fill those in if you can. I hope you'll hang on to this outline just to remind you when it seems like things are a little hopeless, there is hope. Our first year of marriage, if you think about yours, it probably had some ups and downs. We had several serious downs. Claudia had exploratory surgery. We hadn't even been married a year yet. It was in the June before our wedding. And she'd had some stomach problems. The doctor said, "Well, we're going to have to go in there and see what's going on." And Claudia's mom came over to stay with me while we were doing the surgery. We didn't think it was any big deal. Surgery went on 6 hours, and finally the doctor came out, and we both stood up, and he said, "I think she has a good chance of surviving. She's young." And I felt my knees start to buckle, and so did Pat's, and we kind of held each other up. And Claudia was in intensive care for 3 weeks, and so in those days you could go in. I could go in as a husband every 3 hours for 15 minutes. Or I think it was 5 minutes, actually. And so our anniversary was while she was in intensive care. And so I came in with one of those little vases with a rose. I guess other people say vases, but around here we call them vases. And with a rose. And the nurses knew what I was doing, and they were all back there sniffing and crying. so I go up to her, and she's got her eyes closed, and I said, honey, and she opens her eyes and looks at me. I said, happy anniversary. And it didn't go real well. And I said, honey, I wish it was me instead of you. And she glared at me and she said, so do I. That was tie a knot in the rope and hang on, that's for sure. And she hadn't been home from the hospital very long. She had still had her surgical patch on, and I started having issues and couldn't feel my toes, couldn't feel my fingers, started having back pain, and then I couldn't feel my feet or my hands. My facial muscles started to collapse, and so she put me in the car, drove us to Plainfield, put me in the community hospital. I kept getting worse. Doctors are saying all kinds of terrible things that I had, that I was going to die from, and my mother and dad were in Plainfield, and my mother kept saying, I know what it is. He had it when he was 5 years old, and he's got it again. And turned out she was right. It was Guillain-Barré syndrome. So I had to learn to walk all over again. Couldn't feed myself. You can imagine, Larry, what a frustration that was. And I could go to the bathroom and breathe. And they even had a breathing machine outside my room while I was there because they thought I might lose the use of my diaphragm. And so finally got out. Principal at Edgewood saved my job. Claudia went in and talked to him and said, he'll be here in a month. And, boy, that was pushing it. But in fact, the last time we talked to neurologists, they said, well, you probably won't have any kids, and will at some point probably be on a wheelchair the rest of your life. And it was funny because we didn't know it then, but Claudia was already pregnant with our first child. So God knows sometimes. Love doctors. Sometimes they're not sure. So another knot in the rope. Well, as our kids grew up, and I don't know why Claudia was doing this. I can't remember. She one day decided to make 12 pumpkin pies. I can only eat six, you know. But it must have been for youth group or something. And so she had this big bowl on the kitchen table and 18 eggs, 9 cups of pumpkin, 4.5 cups of sugar, 9 cans of condensed milk, lots of spices. And John, about 4 years old, walks over, grabs the side of the bowl, and dumps the whole thing on his head. Time for another knot in the rope. I don't know how she cleaned that up. Well, it wasn't too long after that that, if you have kids, you know this happens. John was just everything. He was in trouble all day long. And at that time, my sister Kathy was living with us. She was going to IU. And so Claudia called him in and said, if you do one more thing, I'm going to pull a switch off the tree, and I'm going to switch you. And, of course, he was appropriately very, very sorry. And he went back outside, and Kathy said, now, Claudia, you know, if it happens, you're going to have to do it. And she had never done that. And so they're sitting talking at the table about 10 minutes. Darren's out in the yard. John has the hose. Has so totally soaked him from top to bottom and dumped a whole bag of plaster of Paris on his head. He decided to make Darren a statue. Another knot in the rope. She did go out and get a switch, and when I got home, I couldn't even see a mark on his legs. But I don't think she ever had to do that again. That was one of those tie a knot in the rope days. You know, you tend to, as in preaching, preach what you know. It's just kind of like writing. You know, they always say, write what you know. And if you know me very well, you know I fish a lot. Claudia sometimes thinks maybe a tad too much, maybe a tad and a half. I don't know. But in my lifetime, I have probably owned 8 to 10 anchors, boat anchors. And I have a couple of Lake Monroe. I think I've got one at Lake Lemon. I've got one at Kentucky Lake. I've got several in Alabama, and I think I've even got one in Michigan. And here's the deal. You know, I'm not a good learner, apparently. You know, when you get ready to anchor the boat, I don't think I've got one at your place. Not yet. But, you know, you have the rope on the anchor, and you drop the anchor in the water, and the rope goes out, and, you know, you start to fish. And then you think, why is the boat still drifting? And I realized too late I didn't tie a knot in the end of the rope to the boat. don't know. It's just sometimes hard to remember. No, I have the only anchor I have left. I'll share this with you real quick. I'll try to make it short. We heat with wood to some extent, not like we used to. And it was time to clean the wood flue out. And so I had an anchor that was 8 inches in diameter, had kind of a plastic coating on it. Yeah, Larry's laughing already. Some of you guys remember the story. But I had a brush with a loop on both ends. So I tied one end to the anchor and the other end to a rope. And I thought, man, I'll just drop that down the chimney, pull it back up, drop it down, got her whipped. So I dropped it, and it went down. It did not come back. It wedged sideways and was stuck. This was September. And so I was still teaching, so I started talking to some of my friends. They said, well, squirt some ivory liquid down there. That ought to get some lube. I did that, nothing happened. So they said, well, put a bunch of water down there, you know. And so I put some water down there. All I got was bubbles of ivory liquid coming up. And so somebody said, well, take some newspaper and build a fire in the flue underneath it, and maybe it'll melt some of that plastic off. All it did was fill up the house with smoke because the smoke couldn't go up the chimney. And so one of the guys at school made me this long metal rod with a hook on both ends, and I could reach all the way down and hook the thing, and it would not budge. And so I was spending every evening. I mean, this was September, getting into October. We need to start thinking about a fire. And I would come home, change my clothes, go right up on the roof, and start again. Claudia would open the door, the window upstairs, and hand me out my supper, and I'd sit up there and eat supper and fuss and fume until it was too dark to see, and then go to do it the next night. I finally did get it out. I decided to use a come-along, and I laid a board across the chimney. And by this time, I'm standing. I mean, my house is three stories, and my balance is not good. And I'm standing on the roof with this come-along and a board across it, and I thought, either I'm going to pull that thing out or I'm going to completely destroy my chimney. And it turned out, it finally, after a lot of jacking, it finally popped loose, and I didn't tear up the chimney, but I stood on the roof and yelled and screamed and sang. If you happen to be outside, you know, in the middle of October or whatever year that was, you probably heard me. I was so delighted. I don't have good relationships with anchors. But the point is, you got to tie a knot in the rope and hang on. 1 Peter 1 says this, Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you who through faith are shielded by God's power unto the coming of salvation. This is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Now, let me hasten to point out, this was not written to us. It was written to the Christians of Asia Minor, 30 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But Peter wanted to encourage the Christians who lived in a very unchristian place full of unbelieving spouses, harsh bosses, ridicule from neighbors and friends, and a future that looked awful. Sort of sounds familiar, doesn't it? Could be us. No, it wasn't written to us, but it was written for us. These people were, and we are often, at the end of the rope, Christians. Peter doesn't give us an out in tough times. Instead, he gives us, reminds us, encourages us with the power of hope. So what is living hope? That's what we hang on at the end of our rope. Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised to be faithful." Hope brings lots of things, and I gave you a list with blanks, and I'll try to go slow enough that you can write them down, because I think it's important to know hope is a nice word, it's a good word, it's a powerful word, but it carries a lot with it. Romans 15:13, joy and peace. Hebrews 11:1, confidence and assurance when we cannot see the future. If you don't get all these, check with the person next to you or ask me afterwards. I think they're important. Psalms 33:20, help and shield. Psalms 33:22, unfailing love. Proverbs 23, a future. Isaiah 40:31, renewed strength. And man, my favorite, Acts 2:26, rest. One of the good things about not teaching full-time anymore is that I get to sleep till 8:30. I get to take a nap anytime I feel like it. It's funny, the older we get, how nice rest is. I make the bed. Yes, Larry, I did learn how to make beds when I retired. And I think, gee, just about 12 hours and I'll be back there again. Rest is nice, yeah. 2 Corinthians 3:12, boldness. Hebrews 6:19, an anchor for the soul. And John 3:3, purity. John Piper says, hope is full assurance or strong confidence that God is going to do good to us in the future. It is the living hope that has power to produce changes in how we live. How do we get hope? If you are a football fan and you watch college football or professional football, or you're married to somebody who does and you end up getting stuck watching the ball games, you have seen something like this. And it's the coach's prerogative. And he throws it out on the field and everything stops. And the referee turns on his microphone and says, the previous play is under review. And that if we watch the replay, we say, oh, that's good. It really should be a first down. We're really excited. Or we look at it and say, it ain't going to happen. He just wasted a timeout. Napoleon almost won the whole world. He almost won the biggest game, political and military game in the world. Thought he had it won. And in fact, they say that he had a map on his wall and a red dot at Waterloo in Belgium. And he said, if it wasn't for that dot, I would have ruled the world. And he thought he had it going into battle. But the play was under review. He lost. I don't think Satan has this, but I can imagine him with a map. In fact, on my world map that I have at home, the difference between where Waterloo was and where Jerusalem is about that far. And I could hear Satan saying, I thought I had the whole world won. And for 3 days I did, and we celebrated. But the play was under review. And Jesus came back. Looked like he'd won for 3 days. You know, I want to thank you, those of you who were here when my mom and dad were here, and how you ministered to them. And Dad loved his congregation. He loved the preaching. If somebody preached a sermon, they'd preach another time. He said, yeah, I liked that the first time. It was pretty good this time, too. Really paid attention. And he saw himself as a kind of a spare tire here. And he came over here and walk in the morning, and the little kids would be here, and he loved seeing the kids. And he taught Sunday school classes, and for a long time he preached at various places. And he did sick calls and communion calls, and right up to the point that he got really sick. And you were so good to him and ministered to him and to my mother so much. And I will always be grateful for that. But when my mother died, Dad was standing at her casket, and Claudia was very close to my dad. And he always called her Dill, daughter-in-law. And she called him Pop. And she came up and said, "Pop, what are you thinking?" And he said, "Well, I'm thinking either what I have lived and what I have taught and what I have preached and what I have studied is all a pack of lies, or it's the truth. Jesus is the Son of God. There is a heaven. I'm going to see Mom again." And he said, "I believe it. I believe it." Colossians 1:27 says, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." Psalms 25 says, "Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long." You may have heard this story. In fact, I think I shared it here for a communion meditation one day. But I remember Claudia's parents lived right next door to their grandparents, and they always had everybody home for Thanksgiving. You all go through this too. And we had people sitting at tables all over everywhere, and card tables and on the porches. And then Grandpa King would say, this is not right in this day and age, but the ladies had to clean up all the messes. Sorry, girls. And by the way, I have learned to run the dishwasher, make the bed, do laundry. Cooking is still kind of an issue. I can fry fish, I can grill steaks and hot dogs, that's about it. But anyway, so Grandpa Kane would say out loud, "Hold on to your fork, the best is yet to come." And I've heard that story told a lot of places in a lot of different ways, but I know he said it. And that's the hope for us. When it's tough here, we know the best is yet to come. You know, when someone comes forward and makes a confession, we hear that good confession. I'm sorry, I'm taking stuff for cold, and it just every now and then it feels like I just ate a toad. So anyway, we hear this a lot, but for a lot of us, it's been a long time since we said it. And if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son, I want you to say this. I want you to stand up. We're going to say this together. Okay, you'll repeat it after me. Repeat after me. So, this is what I believe. With everything I am, this is what I believe. With everything I am not, this is what I believe. With everything I hope to be, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the Living God, my hope and my Savior. Amen. You may be seated. Now, one of the problems with this rope thing is that we're focusing on the wrong end of the rope. The truth is, our rope has no end. The truth is, the best is yet to come. If we focus on eternity, perspective changes. On our possessions, on people, we start assuming the best instead of the worst, even on pain. I'm sure you have been through Ephesians 6, where Paul talks about the armor of protection. And he mentions the helmet of salvation. Interestingly enough, salvation there translates to guess what word? Hope. You know, I said I tend to preach what I know, and I mentioned that I fish, and I do too much, and I bass fish. and I fish tournaments with my son Darren. And there is never a more hopeful bunch of guys than right at daylight. And some of us have been up since 2 o'clock and been driving. Boy, you get in the water, and you get the running lights on, and you get your life jacket on, and you may even have your helmet on. Looks like motorcycle helmets. I must confess, we have those. We look like stormtroopers sailing down the lake. But everybody is excited. Everybody is joyful. Everybody is hopeful. Everybody feels like this is the day. And the sun's coming up, and the sun rays are starting to hit the boats, and maybe there's a little fog coming up, and the excitement and the joy is amazing. Now, you know, you get to way in time, there's not quite so much joy at that point. But everybody's excited to begin with. And I always think of one of my favorite songs. In fact, we sang it at Sherwood Oaks just a month or so ago. But the lyrics go, "The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me keep singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. O my soul. I'll worship your holy name." Yeah, there's a new day dawning. Whatever may pass, whatever lies before us, there is hope. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I can't hear you.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's pray.